You're listening to a Zone Radio podcast. Zoneradio.co.za.
The Motor Zone is proudly sponsored by Mahindra Claremont. Call us on 021-569-6800 to book a test drive and we'll come to you. Are you on the lookout for a budget-friendly sport utility vehicle that exceeds your expectations? Look no further than Mahindra Claremont. Our vehicles will pleasantly surprise you, but to truly believe it, you need to experience them firsthand. Give us a call at 021-569-6800 or visit mahindra-claremont.co.za to schedule a test drive and we'll bring the experience to you. And here's an exclusive deal for Zone Radio listeners. Secure the Mahindra XUV 700 AX5 for just 419,999 Rand, saving you a remarkable 60,000 Rand. And we'll include a free safety film worth 3,500 Rand. Don't let this incredible offer pass you by. Mahindra Claremont will redefine your expectations in affordable SUVs.
It's 10:30 and time for the Motor Zone with James Donicky from JSJ Motors. Good morning, James, and welcome back.
Yeah, good morning, birthday girl. Yeah.
Oh, yes, yes. Snap, I believe your son shares the birthday with me.
He does, yes. He's getting a bit older, as you all are.
Oh, my word. We're not going to talk about age now.
Nah.
We'll
change the subject.
Yeah, we'll be forever young. You know that saying?
Oh, yes,
forever
young. Yeah. Good song, that one, too.
James, did you have a good long weekend?
It wasn't too bad. I just picked up a tummy bug. Unfortunately, that's the way it goes.
Yes,
sometimes.
Well, the bug is here. The bug is definitely here.
It showed me once or twice. So I'm trying to recover from that one.
Right.
But I had my nursey help me out, so it's not a problem.
So it's like nursey is getting worsey.
Yes, yeah, she deals with it nearly every day. So, yeah, unfortunately, that's her job. Yes, okay, so today we're talking about, I picked this thing up about a couple of weeks ago about the Mahindra versus a Toyota Land Cruiser in Australia. So if anybody wants to go onto YouTube and you can Google this thing or whatever. It's a Toyota versus the Mahindra pickup. It's a motor place in Australia, and they do a good test. They loaded both vehicles with about 500 kilograms of stuff. The Toyota Land Cruiser was the normal bucky, as it was called, a 70 series or 79 series, four-cylinder. I think it's a 2.0. I can't remember what it was, and versus the Mahindra pickup, which is a 2.2 diesel, but it was a double cab because that's the only one they could get. So it came because they asked, what is the price difference between the Toyota and the Mahindra? Is it worth spending, I think it's about 300,000 Rand difference in the two vehicles? Look, and I'm going to be honest with you, Toyota always holds its value a little bit more.
Yes.
But it depends on what you need it for. If you're going to use it for running around and whatever, the Mahindra came out actually very, very well. So,
and their service is amazing.
And the service is amazing. So, I mean, this was, it's not as fast as the Toyota. I mean, we know Toyota's been a little bit round and they do a little bit more refining with their motors.
But we can't speed anymore, so it doesn't really matter, does it?
Yeah, well, everybody just wants to go that little bit faster. But, I mean, they loaded the vehicle and it was, 0 to 100 in 15.23 seconds for the Toyota Land Cruiser. On the Mahindra was 22.13 seconds. But like I say, the price difference is horrendous. There's a big price difference. I think Mahindra have got the latest one on their buckies, the pickup. It starts off at about 260 if you're a dealer, a company that needs X amount of vehicle. You've got to have take X amount to get this price.
Yes.
But it's a great price. And like I say, that your Toyota's about 800,000 Rand. And if you take in, and if you got a company or whatever, even if you want to buy the normal one, I think the normal one starts off at about 265.
Yeah.
And then you get the upgraded, what they call the Karoo version. I think it's a special 4x4 aircon, all that. That starts at about 625. Whereas your Toyota 79 is a 4x4, but it doesn't have certain luxuries. So it's a big difference. You know, you're talking about 300,000 Rand for something to do a job. So look at that. If you're interested in it, go in, Google it. It's very interesting how they do it. They do an uphill test, going around the corner, towing something. They go over bumps and that. So they really give an honest answer about the two vehicles. We all know Toyota's brilliant. But he says the Mahindra surprised him. It's not as refined as the Toyota, but for 300,000 Rand, I don't know what it works out in Australian dollars, don't really care about it. Yes. But there is a major price difference. And yes, he was very happy and satisfied with Mahindra. So, and I know the Indians, if you want to see how the Indians load their Mahindras in India, my goodness, you think our taxis are bad.
So it can hold.
It can hold a
capacity
bit more.
Can hold.
A little bit X over the capacity. You know, so, yeah, you can see them. You think, like I say, if you see our buckies with the trailers and that, you go to India and you watch these, what they do with the Mahindras and that. So it does survive. And the guys are doing 500,000, 600,000, 700,000, close to 1,000,000 kilometers on their cars. You know, so, and it's just the biggest thing is just remember, you've got to service your vehicle when it's due. And that will, it should last longer like that. And like I said, it depends on where you drive, how you drive, and what you're using it for. But make sure you get the correct vehicle for what it needs, what your needs are there for. So, yeah, it was very interesting. So I watched it. That was quite cool. So, yeah, if I think people are interested in a bucky, there you go. Don't be shy. Mahindra does itself. Then we're back to a little bit of load, the electric vehicles.
Yes, we were going to continue.
Yes, this was a new thing by Ox Deliveries, electric trucks operated in Rwanda, but they want to bring it down to South Africa as well, especially for the rural areas. This is a pay-per-load electric truck. So they're looking at bringing this down into South Africa. It's a UK-based company. And it says for less than a dollar, Ox customers can transport a sack of goods across poor roads. Now, look at our roads. I think Joburg needs it more than what we do. But in the rural areas, yes, after the rains and things like that, you can – I don't know what they would charge here, but they're looking at bringing it into this country. And these little electric vans, a little bucky type thing, you can put your load in from the shop or whatever, and they can bring it to you. I'm sure in the middle of nowhere that'll be good if you can't get there too well or you don't have transport to get the things like that. But it's I think they need to charge kilogram basis per kilogram. That's what they charge you. Since its launch, they say they've got about 4,000 customers. But this is in the middle of the poorer areas in Central Africa. But it can help us, yeah, down in Natal. Eastern Cape, things like that.
Is it here yet?
They said it should be here. So I'm not 100% sure. This is just that I'm picking up now. I don't, you know, there's not a lot of information about these things that the guys want to bring in. So it's been quite interesting that I don't know if the government's keeping it secret or someone's got their finger in the pie. I mean, to me, this should be something that
should be exposed,
but not only that, it should be not great. You know, everybody's got to make the money, yes, but it should be a low-cost thing for people that cannot afford transport or cannot afford to get to certain places to get their goods to. Like, they might have a little farm and they want to sell their goods there and someone will sell it for it. So they can take these things back and forth. But unfortunately, we don't live in a world like that.
Everybody
wants to make money.
No, we don't.
I think we're all the same. But this is it's a big thing. It's because of they've called it the low carbon energy point infrastructure. Like I still say, great electric vehicles are great, but unfortunately, the lifespan of the batteries is probably about 5 years. And that was the other thing we're talking about, and the people are getting quite upset about is the what they're getting for the electric vehicles when it's time to get traded in. I was reading something about a guy with a Porsche. I don't know what they call it, Porsche Taycan or whatever, electric vehicle. Huge amount of money in the UK, probably say £120,000. I'm just saying, I don't know the exact amount. And he went to trade it. He wanted to trade it in on the latest one because he's had it for about 4 years. The agents wouldn't accept it. Now, this is, to me, is wrong. Because it's an older model and a newer one is out, and the lifespan of the batteries is getting to its end of its lifespan, and his value dropped from, like, say, for instance, £120,000, it came down to £40,000. So the amount of money he lost, and this is what he's getting upset about. He says, "Why the first person that should trade it back is the agents."
Yes, makes sense.
And he is the one that's trying to save the environment, but with everybody talking nonsense into everybody's head about the electric vehicles. Look, we haven't got that yet, but be careful. You've got to do your homework after the vehicle. Will they give you what they say? Will they trade it back into me? Because vehicles, if you buy it from the agents and take it to the service there all the time and whatever, they must be able to trade it back in. And this is what the UK, this guy is highly paid off with Porsche. I mean, it's not a cheap brand.
No.
So you've got to be careful of, And they know what the price, replacement cost of the battery is, what mileage the guys are getting to
the
it.
The battery, what is the actual prices? Have you,
that vary.
It, does it vary?
It vary. Tesla
it varies to the vehicle that you drive in, I presume.
Well, it depends on what the agents want to make of it. So you've got a $15,000 for Teslas. That's from $15,000 up until, I think, the Kia, believe it or not, Kia and Hyundai were something like $60,000.
Yeah.
So it varies.
And in South Africa?
I don't know. That would be interesting to know. It's great, you know, to do this, but have they told the people the whole story? What is BMW going to charge for the iX? I'll come to the i-series now. So I don't know what the price of the battery is. If it's under motor plan or whatever, perfect. I know the one lady, when the wife used to work, she had a Toyota Prius, and she had it for about a month after she bought it secondhand, and the battery went. That was 50,000 rand. This was
after a month?
Yeah, it was a secondhand car, but after a month, the battery pack had thing, because it was a hybrid, but the battery pack had gone, and it was 50 or 60,000 rand to do. And this was 10, 12 years ago. So, yeah, but
for
you managed
a battery.
For the battery pack on the thing. So, it's quite astronomical.
So we say to all our listeners, choose wisely.
Choose wisely, find out the after.
Do your homework.
I mean, some people can afford it, some people can't. But if you're going to get this to help the environment, don't get me wrong, you can do that. But just, I'm trying to look at in the picture further down the road that if the guy doesn't want to trade in, like I said, this guy from Porsche in the UK, and they're doing a lot of vehicles, he was given a fraction of what it's worth, and it's a beautiful-looking motor car.
Yes.
So, they've got to be careful, even the e-trons and the Audis and things like that. These are 2 million rand cars. How much is a guy going to get back for it? That's, you know, so be careful. You want to do everything right. You want to be a good guy, help the environment, save the environment for the kids later on. Great stuff. But is it going to affect you in such a huge way that you won't touch one again? And where does that car go to when it's finished? Does it stop? Because they can't recycle everything. And that's another thing. It's just the recycling. So, yeah, be careful. That's just my opinion.
Ask a lot of questions. Do your homework.
Because you don't want a car to become a paperweight.
Yes.
Because the battery, it's like, you know, you charge your cell phone every day or you charge your batteries every day. The lifespan of the battery, you'll see it will go down from 100%, 90%, 80%. So, it gets down.
The older the phone.
So you've got to get a new battery. And it does start to affect the electronics. So your distance that you've got to travel is not as much, especially when it gets colder weather. Cold and heat affects batteries exactly the same. Heat can destroy a battery. Cold just takes a charge away. So this is what another thing as well that the guys were saying, the range is not accurate to what you say. So you can charge a car, and it tells you a range of 250 kilometers. You get up, you go up Oukapsaweg, and you look at the bottom of it, and you're going, I've only got a range of 100. Because it drains, you're putting your foot down to get that weight of that little car up the hill and back. So it's not an accurate thing of the mileage you can get from an electric vehicle. So yeah, be careful. You got to do your homework before you go out and jump into it. It's like any car. You're not just going to go out and buy a new car because you're going to do your homework. Look at it. What is it people say? What does Blue Peter say? What does anybody say about the vehicle, the write-ups? Go overseas, see what the write-ups are overseas, and see what they say about the vehicle. So, interesting.
I think that's very important. You know.
Especially the price of cars. I mean, I'm busy doing a Toyota Etos, and I'll mention this. What? The carpets they've put in this car is paper thin. It should not be allowed. You know, the person's made a big hole in the carpet. It's a lady had the car before, the second-hand car they got, but she must have been driving with heels. But because the carpet is so thin, even if you put a rubber mat there, it was just like paper. And I managed to get a second-hand one, so I'm going to have a piece of rubber put onto it so it'll save it. But, oh, man, wow. Just spend a little bit of money. That's such a – to me, it's a safety thing, especially on the driver's side. You know, if your foot gets caught in the carpet while you're driving and goes through – major repercussions, but no, terrible, terrible, terrible.
And especially when the mats move and you're busy driving, moves up and lots of times you've got to,
move it. But it's the carpet itself. The car's carpet itself is so thin. It's like paper. I could take it and rip it, but I don't know what to do. So that's enough of me complaining. Right, so apparently
This is from hydrogen infrastructure is to be installed between Joburg and Durban freight corridor. So this is a new thing through BMW as well, and the BMW iX5 pilot fleet experience, they all should be here at some time. So the refueling structure will have access to material. It won't materialize overnight, but once it's done, people can use the hydrogen system to recharge their cars. That, like I said before, hydrogen to me is the way to go.
And it's here already.
Yeah, it is here already. iX5 pilot fleet experience. I'm just trying to read here. Hydrogen being better suited for larger, heavy machinery. Cecil Driswanapool went as far as say the new technology is best suited for applications like mining, industrial processing with heat. Long-term backup power will then only heavy-duty transport. Once these industries have demonstrated an interest in infrastructure and has been established, it will only be a viable solution for end users like you and me. But I was reading that they are starting to make hydrogen. Cecil is starting to make hydrogen, and it looks like they're going to be one of the biggest producers of hydrogen in the world. Well, they can become one of the biggest producers of hydrogen in the world.
The price difference?
Well, we don't know. No one's going to tell you the price of a hydrogen and how much it costs. But the hydrogen power to reach local shores early 2024, I still haven't heard anything about it. I mean, to me, as early as now, we're starting to get a bit later.
Yes, and I mean, we're already in April.
Yeah. So the infrastructure, between Joburg and Durban, Hydrogen Council meeting on in Africa and Sandton on the 12th and 13th of February. This is type of things that people should know. So if you want to get a hydrogen car like the new BMW, you want to know where to go and charge your hydrogen car. It's the same as electric vehicles. And you want to know where the charges are.
Yes, and all the agents would know about this already. They should have been informed.
You've got to be trained before you actually even see the vehicle. Yes. So you've got to go on training with BMW before it. It's more cost effective to have a hydrogen powered vehicle than what is electric vehicle.
Why is that?
Well, you don't have the batteries.
Okay.
The motor is a lot more. So it just puts out water.
Okay.
Hydrogen just puts out water, and the technology that's going into the things is astronomical, and you don't have to worry about the weight. The weight is also a little bit less, but it's just the loading of how you would refuel your hydrogen car, because hydrogen is extremely dangerous, as we know, in a certain form. I don't know how it works. I'm not a scientist. But it's going to be the greener way. I believe that will be the way. So BMW, I think BMW, Toyota, Porsche, who else is there? A couple of the guys. Everybody's jumping on the electric vehicles, but a lot of the guys on the backside are starting to do with the hydrogen cars because they see the benefit. So you can have a hydrogen, you might even have a hydrogen hybrid, I don't know, but just purely hydrogen. And it's a smaller motor that puts out a lot of horsepower, a lot of torque because of the combustion availability of these motors, of the hydrogen gas. And it's a fresher thing. I don't know what the price of the cars are going to be, because it can be, you're looking at new technology, you're always looking at someone's got to pay for it.
Very true.
That's the only problem. But Cecil say they're going to do, they've got their own green hydrogen for vehicles. Where are they? In June, Cecil produced its first green hydrogen in Cecilburg, repurposing existing 60 megawatts electrolyzer. I don't know what it is, how this works, but they can produce 3.5 tons per day. And the hydrogen fuel used in the Toyota, I've got it, Maria, last year, and iX5 pilot models originated from the site. So we're producing it already for the vehicles. Mm. And to me, why don't they mention this? Just get the people excited about something new. But anything is a cost. Anything you're going to do is going to be extremely expensive. And I was saying something about 69 megawatts on a wind farm in Eastern Cape, up and running sometime this year, and is able to produce ramp up power production on a commercial scale for South Africa. So, it'll be, like they say, they want to do this. They want to become a key hydrogen producer in the world.
So it's exciting times ahead for us.
More work. If they can do that, it's more work. There's people that's going to get involved. It's not as if we've got silly people in this country. We've got some of the most fantastic...
We do.
People to design things. Cecil was fantastic when it came up unfortunately, it was done at the wrong time. But the, what they produced at the time, we had to do the thing, and they did do it. We just never produced, carried on like Brazil. We used to, Brazil uses different types of fuel because they had to get their own fuel because of the things that they used. Oh, what is it? It's gone out of my head now, but it's produced through sugar cane. So I can't remember what it is. Someone will probably mention it. But yeah, that's the thing. So we had it, and it did affect the carburetors in the earlier models because it would eat away ethanol.
Ethanol.
There we go. Ethanol. There, yes. So ethanol is used highly in Brazil because it brings down the emissions control as well. It's a cleaner burning fuel, highly flammable. So yes, yeah. But Cecil, yeah, they planned Secunda to produce 500 tons at 50,000 tons per annum, which could see South Africa. I don't know how much hydrogen hard works per liter, is it per work per kilogram, how you would load it into vehicles. That I've got no idea. So it would be something I'll start looking into it and go from there and see what they say. But yeah, that was it basically. So yeah. Anything else anybody wants to say about? I didn't bring too much today. I was such a busy with my.
Well, you know, you've just come back from a long weekend, and you haven't been well.
No, I haven't. So yeah, that was the interesting things about this is hydrogen and electric is the way to go. Electric, a hybrid car to me is the way to go, but the hydrogen vehicles, yes, definitely. Toyota and I think at Nissan have just signed a thing to do the electric vehicles. But it's not taking off as great as they thought it would. So there's a lot of people, because the CEO of Toyota turned around and says, we're not going to be concentrating too much on EV cars. We're going to concentrate on hydrogen cars.
Yeah.
And then there was a little, I can't remember, I'm just trying to think offhand. There was a small little three-cylinder motor that was producing something like 1,500 brake horsepower. Now, you're talking about a major big V8, as you all the big cars.
Yes.
You got this tiny little engine the guy picks up, and it's producing this amount of power. So, yes, that's where technology is going. It's where you want to, the way to go to, the power. But our vehicles are too big at the moment. I still think our vehicles for our roads are definitely too big. We don't get nailed as much as overseas with your weight of the vehicle. And I think it was Australia and it was a couple of other countries.
And also the age of the vehicle overseas. And,
yes.
And what is the age? 5 years and then you've got to get a new vehicle? Or
No. It's after X amount of time, then it has to go for a roadworthy every year.
Yes.
So, and where you're stuck in the UK, where you stay, of course, if you don't have a hybrid vehicle, you get fined. And all the things for the things. But if it's a normal vehicle, every year, after a certain amount, I think it's about 3 or 4 years, then it has to go for MOT, is what they call it. I can't remember what it's called. And it has to have a roadworthy certificate, what we should
have. Yearly.
Yearly. So you got to have, so you make, number one, insurance. Number two, certificate of fitness. So that's your vehicle. So everybody's got to take those. But they have a lot of them. It's not just that we've got a few around. There's a lot of them. Basically, garages can do it, but they've got to have equipment to test the car. So you take it in, the guys will check the CO admissions, check everything for you, and yay or nay, whether you get it. But everybody abides by it, you know. So if there's rust, they'll fail it.
Really?
Yes. So there's a lot of rust. Oh, no, some of the cars that aren't. Even in America, if you see some of the cars that are on there, and I watch, my goodness, I don't know how these people get around. I thought we're living in a third world country. They have cars where the customer stays. This is what I watch, and the customer stays, brings in this vehicle, and there's actually the front suspension, it's got nothing holding it because of all the rust. The rust, the chassis is breaking off. So, yeah, that's a very strange thing. So, yeah, and that's one thing. If you want to keep your chassis going, have your chassis every now and again either cleaned with good, clean, hot water, a steam clean, and then go and get it rubberized. It's the only way it'll stop the rust from forming in certain places.
Have you noticed around here the cars are getting smaller?
Yes.
They're definitely getting smaller.
We are smaller, and some of them getting bigger. My wife's got a big one. But I prefer a small car. It's what, like I say, to what we can afford.
Yes.
And the smaller the vehicle, the less fuel you're going to use. It doesn't always correspond to that, because sometimes to get it to go, you've got to put your foot down more. But yes, for what we need, depending, like I say, everybody's got their certain needs, but if you're only going to ride around town, yeah, small vehicle. You can fit into the parking lot. You've got this big 4x4 that comes next to you with bull bars, tow bars, and any other bar that's available, and takes up 90% of the space. And this is what they're going to start, and I think it was Australia, France, and the UK are going to start finding the guys with the bigger vehicles.
Really?
Yes.
In the UK,
because of the in France as well, because they're too big. They're using their emissions control, even if it says X amount, it's coming out the exhaust. It's X amount that they're using. Say if you're doing 5.1 per kilometer, per 100 kilometers,
yes.
That's normally what they say. So 5 to 6.5 is what you're using on a small little vehicle. You've got this big Toyota Tundra and this big whatever, and now you're using 18 to 19 liters per 100 kilometers. So that's a big difference. That's what they're going to start looking at because of the big vehicles to try and cut back on emissions. Because even if I say zero, it's the amount you're using. So you're taking amount and
it makes sense.
Look, you can afford if you want a big vehicle, you can afford it. Great stuff. I'm not getting you wrong, but this is what they're looking at doing the car. So, and it's also the amount that a heavier vehicle puts on the road. Look, you do pay for your roads. Number one, you're going to pay for your fuel because the X amount goes to the government.
Yes.
And your license fee will go to, as well goes towards it. But sometimes it doesn't always cover it. We've got a lot of vehicles that are come from all over. They come down, they utilize our roads. Even though they're paying when they put the fuel in, it still doesn't cover our costs to repair these roads. I mean, that's another thing. So,
that is another. That's another topic.
Yeah, it's another topic.
James, we've got someone coming through. Hayden,
yes.
Dustin from the UK. Good morning, Hayden.
Ah, Sue, I'm just laughing. I'm on my way to take one of my two cars for MOT right now. And I've got the other one to do next week. It is costly, but it keeps them in good condition.
There you go. So they've got to do it every year, and he's got to take it out to your own time. You don't have other people. He's got to take it for MOT.
Yeah, there we go. Thank you, Hayden.
So they follow it, so they don't just try and drip away to do it.
Yes.
Because if they get caught, the car gets taken off, and a lot of times the vehicles don't even go and claim their vehicles because they're so old. And they just say they drive it till they get caught.
They just leave it.
And the police take it and they tow it away and the people just go and buy another car. And that is what other also people were doing also in the UK as well. They were going for the electric vehicles, but because of this money that they're losing, they're going back to a cheaper diesel vehicle. They're not petrol, they're going to cheaper diesels, but keeping it out of the zones where you get nailed for emissions and things like that.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of people doing that. In the UK, I've read a lot about it. People just say, I'm going to have a cheaper diesel. It's cheaper to run because the one guy worked it out. I see 56p for his electric vehicle and his diesel worked out to be 29p, something like that. There was a huge price difference for him traveling from A to B, and it still took him, whereas in a normal vehicle, if he had a nice little diesel, he would be there in 2 hours. But because he had to charge it, and they, like I say about the range, and it took him about 5 hours. So it's time versus anything else. So that's how it is. You want to see how long it's going to take you to? Will it be cheaper? No. It works out to be you're going to spend a lot more time on the road, which you don't want. So you become more tired behind the steering wheel. So there's a lot of things you've got to consider. Do you charge it? So you got to sit around and have a cup of coffee and whatever, and you get lazy and you park off. Okay, car's charged. Back in the car, off you go, and you get tired behind the steering wheel. So there's a lot of things like that.
How long does it take to charge a battery?
Depending on what. If you've got a fast charger, they say about 45 minutes. But it's 45 minutes you don't. Look, we're going to fill up. We should stop and have a good half an hour break anyway while you have something to drink or whatever. That's what they recommend.
If you're doing the long trips.
If you're doing the long trips.
Yes.
But if you want to go somewhere and you have to stop for 45 minutes that you don't have, and then the traffic gets busy depending on the time. So you get frustrated, so you put your foot down more, and you put your foot down more, your range gets less.
Yes.
So there's pros and cons of everything, but that's my philosophy about
thanks,
it.
Thanks,
so think about it.
Right, so time has run out for us.
Yes.
Is there anything you want to share?
Just have a good day.
And your details, James? Yes.
081-070-4919. It's time to get wipers. If you're due for wipers,
take
the wipers time
with
the rain and the weather and that. Yeah, and just look after your car. If you got back from a long trip, just go through your car before you start driving because things do happen while you're on a long top. Even if you had a check before, do your second check when you get home.
Thank you, James. Thank you for coming in, sharing your expertise and knowledge with us, and we'll get you back in 2 weeks' time.
Cool. Cheers.
Ciao, ciao.
The Motor Zone was proudly sponsored by Mahindra Claremont, redefining your motoring expectations.
Revolutionize your work with the Mahindra S4 single cab from Mahindra Claremont, your go-to affordable and reliable workhorse. Priced at just 243,043 rand, excluding VAT, it's a steal. Call 021-569-6800 or visit mahindra-claremont.co.za to book a test drive, and we'll bring the vehicle to you for a week-long test. And here's an exclusive offer for Zone Radio listeners. Enjoy free company branding of up to 5,000 Rand. Don't miss out on this unbeatable deal. Mahindra Claremont, where reliability meets affordability.